Judges chapter 13. It says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. A lot of discussion was made there on how the angel of the Lord appeared to her and told her that she was the one that wasn't able to conceive. A lot of thought, theologists, different ones, think that the husband and wife there probably had arguments on who was the reason that they couldn't have a child. All they knew is between the two of them, for some reason, they couldn't bear a child. It says, now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now remember that part. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. We'll go back to that. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you should conceive and bear a child. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. We'll also get into that part. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Now, first of all, he already knew because his wife just told him what the angel had said. It says, and God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor anything unclean. All that I command her, let her observe. It says, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know that he was an angel of the Lord. He goes on to say, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful, or seeing it is a secret? So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it to the rock of the Lord, upon the rock of the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as a flame went up toward heaven from the altar. The angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. So it says the flames were there, and he ascended up into heaven through the flames. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. We'll get back to that part also. It says, but his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and of grain of offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things. Nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called him Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him, Amminah and Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. But in this story, a lot of this whole story as it goes on, I'll tell you the rest of the story in a moment, is about the faith of this mother. is about what this mother offered up in order for her child to become who he was supposed to become. It says she had no kids and wasn't able to have kids. Like I said, at that time, they had no idea which one of the two couldn't bear children. The angel of the Lord comes to her, reveals that it's her, why they can't. In verse 5, it says, as I told you we get back to, that he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That he's going to use Samson. This is what I thought was great. It didn't say that he was going to deliver it, but that deliverance is a process. That deliverance comes as a process. It shows how salvation is also a process. We come, we give our lives to the Lord, but we must continue to be delivered, to be set free. We must continue to follow after Christ. It's not something that just happens, it is done. If you're, when you give your life to God, he will undertake it and start doing the work. All you have to do is obey. Think about that for a moment. You come to God, you say, God, it's like the song earlier, I surrender all. God, I give my life to you, Lord. That it's about saying, okay, God, from this day forward is about my obedience unto you. Manoah's wife was very obedient. She was obedient as far as we can see in the book. You know, it's like being in prison. Someone's trying to get you out. They show you the doors. They even open them for you. But you're not free until you walk through them. You're not free until you step out and do something. Does that make sense? So you're behind bars. You're in prison. You're in there sitting there. Somebody comes, they say, hey, the doors are open. Go. You're free. But until you begin to step up and walk through the doors, you'll never experience true freedom. You'll never experience what God has for you. That he has such a plan and a purpose, but it's about us standing up and doing something. It's about us standing up, rising up, walking through those doors, and becoming free. You know, he began that process, but only Christ could finish it. He began the process of the deliverance, but Christ was the only one that could say, it's finished. Let's go to verse 6. It says, so the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and in his countenance was like a countenance of the Lord, angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. I believe Samson's mother was a great woman of faith. When she was spoken to of the word of God, when she was spoken to that said that she would have a child, what was the first thing she did? She went and she proclaimed it to her husband. She went and said, this is what I've been told. This is what God's going to do. She didn't sit there and doubt it and wonder, well, should I really tell my husband? Well, was that even true? Was somebody just making that up? They had no idea it was an angel, but she knew it was from God. I believe she had been praying. Back then, if you couldn't bear a child, it still is. It's a sad thing, but they didn't have any other options. There wasn't adoption. There wasn't any of this fertile clinics and all these things. And they say that there were probably parties and different things, big events, feasts that they weren't even invited to because they weren't able to repay them when they'd have a child and have feasts. That they say it was a huge thing to be able to have a child. It says she ran and told her husband. She began to read this story and really look into it. you begin to see that it's probably a very great woman of faith that I believe she was down on her knees praying to God, God, you know I want a child, Lord. Lord, you know I need, you know how badly I want to be a mother. Theologists believe that the husband, because of his different doubt in things, and the way it was back then, probably wasn't too much of a man of faith. That she was actually the one that had the faith in the household. They say men are very good at protecting physically, but the woman, the mother side of things, are more apt to the spiritual things. Or more apt to seeing the spiritual things. It says the angel came to them multiple times. Think about that for a moment. If the angel of the Lord would have just appeared the one time, if she was the woman of faith and he wasn't, the angel of the Lord appeared once, and when the man asked for him to come back, asked God, God, whoever this man is, send him back so I can hear this. What would have happened if he wouldn't have came back that second time? How would have the husband have reacted? How would have things panned out? The thing is, a lot of times in our own life, God has to say things to us a few times. God has to come back multiple times to show us things. God has to keep on us, keep saying things. We say, God, give me a sign. We had Dr. Eddie here a few weeks. I've seen people say, God, give me a sign. If you're real, show me, Lord. And then God shows them, and they still don't believe. And they still don't believe. How many times in our own life do we say, God, show me? And he shows us, and we continue to live the same way we were. The thing was, when God showed them something, they had a shift and a change in the way they were living their life. When God showed them the angel of the Lord, Manoah's wife immediately made sure she did as she was told. She immediately followed obedience. But how many times is it that God comes and shows us who he is, and we continue to do the same thing? We continue to live the same way. It goes on. Let's go to verse 12 and 13. You know, Samson was called a Nazarite. He was called to be a Nazarite, one that it said didn't cut his hair. It didn't touch deadly things. It didn't drink wine. All these different things. He was devotion to God requires purity to life. She knew her son had a purpose. She knew that God had a plan for her child's life. And do you know what she did with that? Is she decided to live that God wanted her to live. And not only did she do it for her, not only did she do it for God, but she did it for her son. She did it because of how much she loved her son. And mothers, the same way that we must raise a child, that we obey God and what he's called us to do, that we obey God and raise them up the way he wants them to be raised, that we teach them the truth just as she did with Samson. I believe it was because the mother that everything came to pass. A lot of times men are afraid of a blessing They're afraid of certain things in their life from God because they're afraid of what they may have to lose or give up. How many times have I talked to men, and men know what they need to do to get through something, but they don't want to give something else up to get there? I think that that comes from all of us. That how many times do we live our lives knowing how we can accomplish the next thing God has for us, but we don't do anything about it? That she knew what she had to do, and she obeyed. I'm telling you today to obey what God has told you to do. Obey what he said for you. In verse 12 and 13, I said he had already known what their son was supposed to be and was called to be, but he wanted to hear it for himself. In verse 25, let's move over to there. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. It says, the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. We're going to go more into this, but in order to have power in anything, it was by the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. And the Old Testament always said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In the New Testament, it says, the Spirit of the Lord was within him. So now, as we've gone into the New Testament, the Spirit of the Lord is within us to give us power. That at these times it had to come, you guys get that? It had to come upon them. But now that the Spirit of the Lord has come, after Jesus died, sent the Holy Spirit, and he rose again, that the Spirit lives in us. That Christ began to live in us, that the power is always at hand. That the power is there within us as long as we have Christ in us. And with the Spirit of the Lord, guys, coming upon him, a lot of times you feel in your life, it's time to surrender. You feel in your life, it's time to turn my life over to God. You feel in your life, I know I need to give this to God. I believe that's the same thing as that Spirit of the Lord coming upon you. It's that Spirit of the Lord coming upon you saying, it's time, Jane. It's time, Ali. Saying, it's time. It's time to do this. It's time for change. That every time the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he received power. A little more about Manoah's wife, the mother of Samson. It says she's included among the 23 truly upright and righteous women who came forth from Israel. It says among 22 worthy women in the world. That scholars and different ones believe that she was one of the great women of faith, one of the great top women that came out of the Bible because of what she continued to do. The rest of this story goes on. My main point here, guys, the rest of this story goes on. If you don't know it, I'm going to summarize it. We're going to get into it in the next parts of this series. But he began to disobey the calling of the Lord. That things happened throughout his life that the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him and he could rip a lion apart with his bare hands. But then he went back to the dead. He began to do everything that a Nazirite wasn't supposed to do. Think about this mother that sacrificed her life to make sure her son was born the way that God wanted him. The way that God wanted him born, saying, okay, I'm staying away from all this, God. I'll sacrifice myself and the different things I do in order for him to be who he needs to become. And then to watch her son grow up. Watch her son begin to do all the things that she stayed away from. But begin to think about this part. That God said that he'd be a Nazirite. That God said that he was going to be help to free Israel. She's watching her son going, he's done this, he's done this, he's done this. Now he's marrying. He went off to marry a Philistine. And she's watching all these things as her son is coming against the Lord in different areas in his life. The questions, the doubt that probably came in her head, saying, God, you promised me about this son. You told me things that my son would do, Lord. In verse 5, it says, for behold, you should conceive a son and bear a child, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse 7, it says, behold, you shall conceive and bear a child. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. I can only imagine her re-quoting that scripture, re-quoting that in her head, going, God, but this is what you told me, that he was going to be this way to the day he died. Lord, what's going on? You sent an angel down, Lord. What about this promise? But she began to stand on it and proclaim it to the end. She began to proclaim what God had for her child till the end. A lot of times the situation, especially moms with your kids, looks impossible. Looks like God's hand's not in any of it. Sometimes you think, man, I've really messed up. What could I have done differently, God? I tried my best. But I'm telling you today to stand on what the word of the Lord says. As she stood on what the word of the Lord spoke to her. Then to go on when she feels like he's completely messed up. She feels like there's nothing left. Samson goes and really does it. He reveals the secret of his strength, which is in his hair. He tells the pretty Philistine, Delilah, what his weakness is. We'll get into the whole story more later. But what happens is she sells him out for money. She goes in and she cuts his hair off. Next thing you know, he's got no strength. His strength has left him. The Spirit of the Lord is no longer upon him. How that mother must have felt. You were the one that was supposed to help deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You were the one that was supposed to deliver them. God, I know what you've told me, Lord. Now what? He's gone against every commandment you've told him not to do. Everything. But I believe the reason in the end the promise came through, not always because of him, but because of his mother's prayers. But because his mother stood on that promise and said, no, Satan, you can try to lie to me. You can try to make this look like it's not going to come true, but I know what God promised me. I know what God said, and I'm going to believe it to the day I die. I'm going to believe it no matter what. This woman became the mother of the strongest man to ever live. Imagine that. Why? Because she obeyed the voice of God. She obeyed what God had told her to do. So his mother finds that he's no longer a Nazarite due to what he's doing. Said she never took her eyes off the promise, even though it looked as if it wasn't so. But in the very end, Samson came between the two pillars. He was tied down because he had lost his strength. And it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And when it did, he was able to take down those walls. He was able to complete what God had for his life. He was able to still do the things that looked impossible. Why? Because there was a mother standing there. There was a mother. One of the reasons is there was a mother praying for her child. There was a mother saying, you know what? I'm not giving up on what God's told us. I'm not giving up on the promises God's given me. And God came through to the promise once again at his death. The mother lived her life for her son and for God. But on top of the mothers here, guys, what I want to tell you with that is it doesn't matter the life you've lived. It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Look at Samson, that he did all these things. He knew what he was supposed to do. He did all these things to come against God. But in the end, God was still able to use him. And just because he did all these things wrong, just because he looked at himself for his strength instead of for God, didn't mean that God was done with him. Didn't mean that God had to throw him aside and find someone else. What it meant is there's a time for repentance. Is there's a time that we can say, you know what, God? I've seriously messed up. God, all the things that you've commanded us not to do, I did. God, all the things you told us to do, I didn't. But I tell you today, it's never too late. It's never too late, and you've never done enough wrong. You have done enough. Don't do any more. But what I'm saying is, you've never done too much that you can't come back to God. There's always that time that God's waiting for you, saying, son, daughter, mother, father, here I am. Come home to me. Here I am. I can still use you. Even though you've gone through so much, even though you thought you've done so many horrible things, even though you feel like my calling and promise for you will never come to pass now, it can still come to pass. I'm still here. I believe Jesus is saying, I'm still here waiting for you. I'm still here. I can still use you today. You don't have to wait any longer. It's time to come home. I can use you. And Samson, on his deathbed, Father, one last time, come upon me. And he was able to be used even in the very end. With that being said, guys, the two things. One, mothers, your prayers really do work. Mothers, be that example for your children. Be that child, that mother that your child wants to grow up to look for in a spouse. What Samson did is he did the opposite. He went for the complete opposite as his mother. But I also want to tell you, never stop praying for your children. Never stop praying for your children. Last Tuesday night, we talked about how the prayers, the elders in the church, the ones that were the strong prayer warriors, the ones that you hear people saying, my grandmother used to pray for me, my grandmother used to do this. Now is the time that those are passing away. And who's left? It's time for us to take that over. It's time for that mantle, that baton to be passed on to the next generation. It's time to grab a hold of that and begin to pray for your children. Begin to keep them in your prayers. Begin to believe what God's word says. I know my mother was a great example of that. Of how when I looked like I had completely gone the other direction, when it looks like there was no hope left, that a mother sits there and goes, God, what did I do? Lord, please. I've done as you've asked, God. I'm going to believe what you've said. And maybe you're one that maybe you weren't that mother you should have been as a Christian, raising your children up the way it was you should have. It's not too late. It's still not too late. Don't blame yourself. Don't feel like you did something wrong. But today's the day you can make up for it. Today's the day that you can begin to say, God, I'm praying for my child. That you can begin to see miracles happen in their life now.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.